This path is not distance, nor steps we take. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake. The journey of the heart to Medina.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Views of Madni Channel. Welcome back to a new series, The Heart's Journey to Medina. And we've got so much in store for you in this magnificent program. And we're going to be looking at different things, including Muslim inventions and departments of Dawat Islami. But as well as that, the real journey here starts in taking this piece of flesh in our body and traveling to Medina, but not physically. No. This is a spiritual journey. Now, before I start, let me give you a beautiful couplet. Chahte to sab hain ke ho oje suriyah pe mukim. Pehle waise to paida kare koi kalbe salim. Now, what this couplet says, and what the shair who wrote it wanted to say, is we all want success in life. We want to reach those pinnacles of success. But to get there, what you need is a sound heart. And this whole series is going to be about how to develop that sound heart. And today we're going to be talking about the importance of the heart in our lives. Now let me introduce to you, alhamdulillah, my two honorable guests. I've got three actually today, so I'm very privileged and very lucky that I've got one waiting in the wings. I want to introduce you to two of them, and then inshallah we'll bring our third one along during the program. So I've got, alhamdulillah, Shahir Bhai. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah for joining us. You are, alhamdulillah, a mubaligh as well, and you are one of our beautiful Naat Khans. And mashallah, you've joined us in programs before. And mashallah, today you're going to be enlightening us with Madni pearls on the heart and its journeys, inshallah. Mashallah. And with Shahir Bhai, we've got also his brother and our beloved Zahir Bhai. This is Zahir Bhai, who is in charge of Dawat Islami's youth majlis, and mashallah, he does a lot of work with the youngsters, and especially drafted him in today because one of our topics later on will be Dawat Islami and the youth. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Welcome to the Heart's Journey to Medina.
Jazakallah.
MashaAllah. Looking forward to it. And we've got another special guest, but I'll introduce him when he swaps seats with one of these. Inshallah, keep a lookout for that special guest. Now, we've got different segments. We've got different things for you. But before we go into our main segment, no program is complete without a beautiful kalam in Nate Park in the court of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I was saying before we started that alhamdulillah, today I feel confident because I've got three Naat Khans, both of these brothers and our guest who's hidden at the moment are Naat Khans. So we're going to start with a beautiful kalam, and it's going to be Shahir Bhai who's going to read it. Inshallah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu
ta'ala ala Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayka ya رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله صل على نبينا صل على نبينا صل على محمد صل على شفينا صلي على محمد پھر کے گلی گلی تبا پھر کے گلی گلی تبا ٹھوکریں سب کی کھائے کیوں دل کو جو عقل دے خدا تیری گلی سے جائیں کیوں صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد وہ جو نہ تھے تو کچھ نہ تھا وہ جو نہ ہو تو کچھ نہ ہو وہ جو نہ تھے تو کچھ نہ تھا وہ جو نہ ہو تو کچھ نہ ہو جان ہے وہ جہان کی جان ہے وہ جہان کی جان ہے تو جہان ہے صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد ہم بھی مدینے جائیں گے آج نہیں تو کل سہی ہم بھی مدینے جائیں گے آج نہیں تو کل سہی آقا ہمیں بلائیں گے آقا ہمیں بلائیں گے آج نہیں تو کل سہی صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد آمد مصطفیٰ ہوئی روشن زمانہ ہو گیا آمد مصطفیٰ ہوئی روشن زمانہ ہو گیا جن کے حضور ہو گئے جن کے حضور ہو گئے ان کا زمانہ ہو گیا صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد ہے تو رضا نرا ستم جرم پہ گر لجائے ہم ہے تو رضا نرا ستم جرم پہ گر لجائے ہم کوئی بجائے سوز غم ساز طرب بجائے کیوں صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. One of my favorite kalams, Allah has said, Phir ke gali gali taba, thokrein sab ki khaye kyun. What we do in life is, whenever we have difficulties, we ask other people for help. And you know, if nobody can help you, in the end, what do? You come home, you lay the prayer mat down, and you ask Allah, Ya Allah, for the sake of your beloved Habib, please help me. And you, Allah says in the glorious Quran, you know, when you come to me, I bless you with my mercy. What Allah has says is beautiful. He says, پھر کے گلی گلی تباہ ٹھوکریں سب کے وائی ڈو یو فیس آل دیز ریجیکشنز وین اف یو ہیڈ انٹلیکٹ You would stay in the streets of Medina. You wouldn't go anywhere. You don't need to go begging other people. When your Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is blessed with the keys to the treasures of the world. And we understood that, subhanAllah. But Allah Hazrat was something else, wasn't it? Next level, as they say. SubhanAllah. Viewers of Madni Channel, we're going to move to our first segment. And that is the heart's journey to Medina. Now, before we do, I'm going to give you a blessing of Durood e Pak. And this is a clue for what is about to come as well. You know, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, recite Durood e Pak upon me in abundance, for it is purification for you. Now, when you talk about purification, it's not just about physical purification. But Durood e Pak is such an amazing, amazing vazifa alinity that whatever you intend, it will benefit your heart, mind, and soul. So people, when they want to cleanse their heart, if they recite Durood e Pak in abundance, their heart will become clean and will shine beautifully. So try and recite as much Durood e Pak as you can. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu. We're going to move to our first segment.
The journey of the heart to Medina. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake.
Now there are journeys that we take every day. And a lot of journeys are physical. But the real journeys are journeys of the heart. You've got people who travel to Medina Park, but when you see them there, it doesn't feel like they're in Medina. It just feels like they're tourists. And then you have people who may never have been to Medina, but they live in Medina. There was a man from Yemen, and he didn't have the honor and privilege of meeting Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his heart was so attached to Medina that the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would talk about him. His heart was so connected to Medina Park, to the streets of Medina, to Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, to the Roza Mubarak of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mention him to the blessed companions. He never sat with the blessed companions, but they knew about him. In fact, the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last and final messenger said to illustrious companions, if you meet this person who, Uwais radiallahu ta'ala, if you meet him, ask him to pray for you. And yet, he was in the time of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He couldn't come to Medina because of his difficulties, but his heart was in Medina and he was in the eyes of the beloved of Medina. This is the connection of the heart. This is how great his attachment was. You know, when people asked him, you love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you love Medina, but you don't go there. He said, physically, I'm not there, but my heart is always in Medina. Now, our journey is different. This journey of this series is all about how to connect the heart to Medina. Now in today's program, with my blessed guests, what I want to do is talk about the importance of the heart. Because once we understand how important the heart is, then we can understand why it's so crucial to make that heart crafted in such a way that it is worthy of this journey to Medina. And then inshallah, in the rest of the series, we'll look at diseases of the heart, difficulties that the heart encounters, and how to enlighten the heart. So, going to the first point, you know, that the heart, it's an organ in the body. But, you know, is that it? I mean, does it just pump blood around? I think that the scientists write that the blood travels 660,000 kilometers, which is more than something like 10 times the circumference of the earth or more, around the body every day. It pumps the blood. That your arteries are so complex that they are thousands of miles long. And the heart is responsible for all of this and everything. If the heart stops, the body stops. But is that the only function of the heart? Geez, anyway.
No, I think that's a big misconception if we look at it. Everyone thinks that the heart's only role. Everyone thinks it's a muscle that's pumping blood around the body. But that's not it. Like you said, if the heart goes, everything goes. And then I think this is probably what the series is about as well, the importance of the heart in Islam. And Islam discusses how important the heart is and how it's got sort of its own emotions as well. Yeah. Now, if we look at it from a scientific point of view, the heart itself has its own intrinsic nervous system. So it's got its own nervous system. They use the term the heart brain sometimes as well. So the heart has its own brain. People describe it that way. And essentially because the heart is made of thousands of neurons, it has this whole system. And let's say you're stressed or something happens, emotions get affected by that, decisions making gets affected, and the stress levels are affected.
See, that's amazing because we've always thought that your brain is the CPU, the central processing system, and the heart was just a vessel. But now science is saying that, no, the heart has, you mentioned neurons. I thought neurons were in the brain. Well, no doubt there are, but the heart has neurons as well.
So the heart itself, it doesn't even, often it doesn't even need the brain to work. Heart can work on its own. So there's people who are brain dead essentially, but the heart's still working completely fine. And how does that happen? Usually everything is controlled by the brain, but this person is brain dead, but the heart is still pumping.
And the children, when they're in their mother's stomach, actually the heart forms before the brain.
It does.
So I suppose when people say, you know, you need a brain for the heart, you don't actually. The heart forms first, subhanAllah, and then the brain forms. Amazing.
Mm. And because if the heart didn't form, the brain needs oxygen. The brain needs blood to function.
Yeah.
And what does that? What provides that the brain, the function, is the heart. If the heart stopped, the brain would stop working. So essentially, I know everyone says brain is the most important organ. I think you could argue against that. The heart's more important. Without the heart, the brain would stop.
Yeah. And Shiba, you know, the Islamic concept has always been there, that the heart is, I mean, in the glorious Quran, Allah says, accept he who comes to Allah. So the whole, the ayah mubarakah before it says, the day whereupon neither wealth nor sons will avail, accept he who comes to Allah with a sound heart, qalbi salim. This concept of the heart, I mean, it doesn't say he who comes to the court of Allah with a sound brain. So I suppose what Zahir Bhai is saying makes sense because the heart is the central organ Islamically in the whole system.
So even Islamic, if you look at it, the heart becomes soft and it becomes hard as well. It depends on the person. And that affects the person as well. If the heart is hard, that person will be hard as well. And there's a blessed narration as well, which is that the just like metal catches rust, hearts, they get rusted as well. And obviously, if the heart is rusted, that person will be dead as well. So if anything is given to him, if dawah is given to him, or something good is taught to him, it will not go through his heart because his heart is rusted. And I think the blessed narration mentioned that what takes away that rust is kasrat ke saath, remembering death. And nowadays, obviously, we never remember death. When you mention death, people start running away.
The society we live in is considered a taboo subject. Whereas in Islam, Aqaq Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remember it excessively. And yet we've adopted the ways of the society we live in. But I wanted to come back to something you said. You know, like we use certain metaphors to describe the condition of that. You said soft-hearted, hard-hearted. And I suppose when somebody's being very difficult, we say he's hard-hearted. When somebody's really nice, we say he's soft-hearted. We don't say he's hard-brained or soft-brained. Or, you know, you use the concept like he wears his heart on his sleeve and, you know, he's very easily manipulated or he's, you know, other things like you stole my heart when somebody's in love or something. And it's all based around the heart. So I suppose that as human beings, we recognize that although we consider the brain to be it's the heart that controls everything.
Because technically, that's like Zahir Bhai mentioned, if the heart has become soft, let's say soft, obviously, whatever you give to the heart, it will accept it. But if the heart has gone hard and someone is coming to that person, is trying to talk to him, or is trying to give him something Islamic, nothing will go into the heart because the heart has gone hard. Nothing is going to go into the heart because the heart is not trained and has gone to that brain as well, that whatever this whatever is going to come to me, I'm not going to accept it.
And the glorious Quran, time and time again, doesn't it say that, you know, so referring to some people, that they are, their hearts are empty, devoid of belief. There are veils over their hearts and eyes and ears. And so I suppose, and it doesn't mention it in relation to the brain. You see, it's an interesting concept because all our lives, we've always concentrated on the brain being. But actually, when you look around, since ancient civilizations, whatever civilization you study, Nobody has ever emphasized the brain as being in control. It's always the heart. And alhamdulillah, the amazing thing is, Islamically, we were always taught to focus on the heart. And now, you know, Zahir is telling us that the heart actually communicates with the brain. It's got neurons, it's got feelings, it's got emotions. And your heart runs your life, not your brain. Subhanallah. SubhanAllah. There's a beautiful hadith of Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, in the body is a piece of flesh, which if sound, the entire body is sound, and if corrupt, the entire body is corrupt. Truly, it is the heart. I mean, so basically, the Quran is talking about Qalb al-Saleem. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about the heart. And, you know, all of this comes back to understanding that people make mistakes. When they make mistakes, is it their brain that's malfunctioning when they commit sins? Or is it the heart then that's malfunctioning? Which one is it?
I think it's both. You can think about it. But because I remember there's another narration that mentions that when a person commits a sin, a black dot is placed on his heart.
SubhanAllah.
Then when he keeps on committing it, a more black dot is placed. Then another, it keeps getting bigger.
Till the heart.
To the point where the heart goes black. And then nothing affects the heart anymore. Then, so,
to be fair, what you've just mentioned, it goes back to the point of that it's a complex function. The heart's not just the heart. The whole thing has a complex function. We know that it influences our thinking and our emotions. And that kind of relates back to what Shahidbhai was also saying.
No, that's a brilliant concept, because basically what we're talking about is, we were talking about this physical piece of flesh that pumps blood. But then that hadith of Baraka that Shahidbhai mentioned shows that there is a spiritual side to it, because when you commit a sin, it's in the physical world, it's in the physical realm. But that physical realm leaves a black dot, but the black dot isn't a physical black dot. You know, if somebody is committing sins, if you opened up the heart, you wouldn't have a physical black dot. Yeah. It's a spiritual black dot, isn't it? I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
And so gradually, spiritually, so there must be then, Zahir, right, two aspects to this heart. There's the physical aspect, and the physical aspect is a marvel and a wonder of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. I mean, to beat, you know, throughout somebody's lifetime, it's hundreds and thousands of times, and sending this blood around the body and oxygenated blood, and then, you know, the system is amazing.
60 to 100 beats per minute, non-stop throughout the day. Now imagine that constant. It doesn't even sleep at nighttime.
Yeah.
The brain rests at night time, the heart doesn't rest
at
night time.
The heart doesn't rest. And if it skips a beat, you know about it.
And you do.
And so this is how amazing the system is. I mean, it kind of in a way shows how weak we are, how inferior we are, and how amazing Allah Azza wa Jal's system is. That, you know, we think sometimes we're 10 men and I can bench press this. And that heart that beats, if Allah Azza wa Jal made it beat one time less than it normally does or skips a beat, you'd be in a wheelchair. I mean, subhanAllah. You know, I always say, these arteries that supply the heart, they're about that big. And now we spend our lives thinking, me, I'm everything. And if Allah made it go that, you're in hospital, and if it goes there, you're dead, you know. And this is the reality. So coming back to the spiritual side of the heart. So there's a spiritual side. It's not just a physical organ. Okay, we've established that there is a spiritual side to it. On the spiritual side, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Mubarakah that Shahibai mentioned, said the black dot. So that implies that the heart can get diseased.
Yes.
So what sort of kind of diseases does it develop? Is it like diseases of the body, or what sort of thing?
Spiritual diseases, like, for example, jealousy, backbiting.
Hasid is mentioned quite a lot.
Hasid as well, yes. So
jealousy.
These are... type of diseases which you don't really see physical, but they affect your heart quite a lot.
But you know that, like, people commit sins. Are the sins that we physically commit one set of difficulties, and the diseases of the heart second, or are they interconnected?
So they're interconnected, because obviously the body is committing it, but it's affecting the heart as well, because the heart is connected with the body.
And I'm sure that the heart, the essence of the problem, you don't commit a sin just without thinking about it. It must grow in the heart first before you physically commit to an action.
You know, the I love the way a lot of things are described in Islam. Do you know how it describes a black dot? Of course, it's not a physical black dot, but it's emphasizing how it's affecting your heart. And then we were talking about things that develops, the bad qualities that you get, how they damage the heart. But then if you look at it scientifically, how is that affecting us? Hasad, so jealousy and all these diseases, they cause an effect on your emotions. Now, when you have an effect on your emotions, you're going to struggle with mental health. When you struggle with mental health, because the brain is getting affected, your whole body will be affected. So again, and it all starts from Islamically, that perspective, the hasad and all of these things, they will affect your emotions and those things will affect.
And in short, we're going to be discussing, I mean, there's arrogance, there's pride, there's ostentation, there's jealousy. And we're going to go through the series, we're going to go through all of those. Glorious Quran describes three types of people. There are the mu'minun, the believers, then those who don't believe, and then they're the hypocrites. And what the scholars write, very interesting, they say the believers are those whose hearts are alive. The Quran actually describes those who disbelieve as their hearts being dead. They are alive. So if it was a physical connection, then the Quran wouldn't call them dead. They are physically alive, but the Quran calls them dead because their hearts are dead. And so real life, therefore, must be the life of the heart, the enlightenment of the heart. Because it goes on, the scholars write that, you know, when you have somebody who doesn't believe, their heart is in darkness. It is like the one who is dead. And faith revives them. This is why in the glorious Quran, in Surah 6, Ayat 122, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that we revived and made for him a light by which he walks among the people, not like the one who is in darkness from which he cannot exit. So those who Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed, Allah Azza wa Jalla enlightens their heart and they travel with this light, this nur, and spread it amongst the people. I think the whole concept of the heart in Islam is quite central, isn't it? It's quite central. I mean, without, you know, looking at, it doesn't just look at the heart as a physical thing, but it looks at the heart much deeper. You know, to the extent that the scholars have said, and this is how closely they've studied it. You know, when you write, for example, Arabic, most of the languages go from right to left. So you write your English, it's left to right, yeah? Arabic goes the opposite direction. They say the reason that is that when you're in the Arabic, you're going towards the heart. It's from the right to the left, whereas other languages go the other way. This other thing, they say, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed the system beautifully. What we circumambulate the Kaaba, yeah? Go around it seven times, tawaf. So why do we go anti-clockwise? Everything in the world works clockwise. Why do we go anti-clockwise? And the scholars write, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted your heart closest to the house.
SubhanAllah.
You know, and so there's such a special place for this heart, you know, amongst in Islamic jurisprudence, that if one understands the importance of it, then one will understand that your ability to understand spirituality, because you cannot understand spirituality. It's like a dimension. If you try to understand it with your brain, you won't be able to understand it. You might be able to develop some concepts, but you won't be able to feel it with your brain. It's your heart which feels the emotions. I mean, it's got to be true, isn't it?
And to be fair, if we look at it from a modern point of view, everything that Islam has said, it's getting proven to be right. And of course, it will be. It will be. So although some of the things that we might be mentioning today it might not make sense to the logical human brain of a person, but it might not fit the intellect. Eventually, science will prove that whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said was true, and it is true, because we've seen this happen. It always happens.
But this is amazing, you see, because Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that the heart is important. 1970, university study. It says that it was actually the heart which has its own intelligence, and it receives and sends signals to the main parts of the brain, and it relates to emotion, and the cortex is controlled through, and it learns and develops through normal learning and reasoning and interaction. And this is the first time that they have really appreciated how extremely sophisticated this heart is. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the heart as a vessel of knowledge. Again, we think it's the brain, but you know, and the deeds, you know, and The other thing that's very important, and I wanted to kind of dwell on a little bit, was when you do something wrong, and you know it's wrong, your brain tells you you're getting some benefit from it. Say you defraud somebody. Your brain thinks of a trick. I defraud you. How many here can you make? Why is it that afterwards, this here says, what have you done? What's all that about, man?
This is going back to, like I mentioned before, the heart. As long as the heart is alive, it has that, it gives the person that what you're doing. If he's doing something wrong, it reminds him, look, what you're doing is wrong, is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. But if the heart is gone dead, then there won't be any reminders there, like I mentioned before.
The oxygen of the physical heart, I suppose you're breathing and the blood, is there. But what is the oxygen of the spiritual heart then? I'm going to put you on the spot.
You want the answer that's coming from my heart?
Yes, well, basically, there are two things, isn't it? But, you know, the physical heart needs blood, oxygen, it keeps pumping. Yeah? Now, the spiritual heart has to be... has to be that connection to Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because whatever you try, because you know when the scholars say there are three types of people described in the Quran like I did, the first ones are the ones with the enlightened heart, and those are the mu'minun, and the mu'minun are those who believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that must be the connection between them.
That was the answer that I wanted to give you from my heart as well.
Subhanallah.
And Harumba, you know, on the signs of munafiqun, of the munafiqs, it mentions that what is the definition of a munafiq? Someone who claims to be Muslim by tongue, but in the heart is not.
Allah. So it's not what the tongue says. The heart takes precedence. And what is in the heart. And I suppose this is what comes right to, because Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatuh Al-Aliya, time and time again, what they emphasize is intention. Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know, niyatul mu'mini khayru min amali. The intention of a mu'min is better than his actions. Because actions are physical, but intention is...
through the heart.
Through the heart, subhanAllah. And so the more we look at the Islamic concepts, the more we realize that actually we've been chasing and looking at the wrong part. We've been thinking the brain and the mind and the conscious. It's actually the heart which is central to this. Viewers of Madhya Channel, while we give you a surprise, inshallah, I'm just going to talk a little bit about what we were discussing. We're going to have a little change in the studio. So looking at what we've discussed up to now, it is pretty clear that this organ in the body that we think is simply a physical organ that pumps blood is much more than that. Islam emphasized its significance. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about its importance. It is a crucial organ, and yet we didn't realize, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that. Now, in the 19th and 20th century, the academics are saying, actually, this organ of the body, this heart, is actually something totally different. It thinks, it controls, it regulates emotions. It is the center point of your life. Allah Azza wa Jal has placed it in the center of your body to the left, and there are reasons for that, but it dominates and it controls not only your physical body, but your spiritual body and your spiritual mindset. Now, the heart has always been considered to be very important. It has always been considered to be a crucial part of a person's life. In ancient civilizations, it was emphasized. When it came to Islam, the beauty of Islam is such that these people were basically guessing and doing some peripheral things. But when it came to Islam and the teachings of our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was clarified, and everything that was emphasized connected to the heart and purification of it. Alhamdulillah, we've got another guest with us, our beloved Ubaid Bais. You'll know him from Madni Channel. Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mashallah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Welcome to this beautiful journey to Madinatul Munawwara, where we're not going physically, but we're trying to take our hearts there. And I wish we could develop that mindset and that cleanliness and that purity of the heart, where we could live in the UK, but travel to Medina. And there are people, Ubaid Bhai, who may not have been to Medina, but their longing for Medina is so amazing that they are, you know, that they spend their time in the streets of Medina.
Harumba, I think what you're trying to say is, why do people have that? Why do people love Medina so much. And I think there is a science behind it. You know, when people go to Medina Park, there's this, you know, odd sense of peace, sense of comfort that people get. That, you know, it don't matter where else they go in the world, you know, they go to other countries, they're at home even. They don't find that peace anywhere else other than in the beautiful city of Medina. Because when people, they go to Medina, they go out of love, out of remembrance for Allah and for His beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, that indeed in the remembrance of Allah is peace, is tranquility for the hearts. So this peace that people get when they go to Medina Park, they go out of love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they go out of love and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they go there, they get this peace. This is why so many people love to go there time and time again. And you know, it's not odd to hear and it's not unheard of when someone goes to Medina and comes back, he says, gosh, I just want to stay there if I didn't come back.
My difficulty is that you get people who are in Medina Sharif, but they're there with the body, but they're not spiritually there. They do not attach to Medina. It's more like a holiday. And that's my little kind of bone, you know, a beam up on it, because Medina Park is such a place that when you have the honor and privilege of going there, I mean, the angels only get one opportunity in a lifetime, yeah? You know, you should be so humble, you should be so overcome with awe and, you know, so kind of mesmerized, and yet people don't treat it that way. And so the point was that there are people who may be physically there who are not spiritually there. But yet you've got people like, and I mentioned at the beginning, people like Hazrat Sayyidina Awais Karni radiallahu ta'ala, or people like Hazrat Abdul Rahman Jami rahmatullahi alayhi, who weren't in Medina, but they were being talked about in Medina. And, you know, we live in a world where, you know, we'd love to go to Medina maybe a couple of times a year. Those of us who are blessed to go, we go. But we can't remain in Medina all the time. But there are people, Obedi, who attach their hearts to Medina. So they don't, are not in Medina, but they live in Medina because of their connection to Aqa Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so what we were discussing before you came was that, okay, well, to connect to Medina spiritually, how do we do that? And we were establishing, and mashallah, you know, Zahir Bhai, Shahir Bhai, both of them, that they kind of showed us that, you know, there is a, the heart is the spiritual organ and it is the main connection. It has emotions. And the more cleaner the heart, I suppose, that the more chances you've got of connecting to Medina.
Is that, Rumba, it all comes down to love.
How much, Subhanallah.
How much love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the problem is that in this day and age, the love we have is only on our lips. We say we love.
Allah.
But it's not through, you know, the real love, true love is through your actions. You know, when people go to Medina, you know, like you mentioned at the start, they go, they take pictures. You know, it's almost as if they...
Yeah, I've seen people in front of the Jalia Mubarak.
They're going for tourism almost.
Yeah, tourism.
And the difference is down to their love. Now, them same people, they might say they love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But, you know, this is for every single person watching, and it's for myself as well. If we truly sit down and we think and reflect upon ourselves that, yeah, I say I have this love, but do I truly have it? Do my actions reflect that? Do my words reflect that? And, you know, when a person actually takes the time out to reflect, the answer makes itself obvious.
And that's a brilliant point, you know, because Ubaid Bey is basically saying there is that we give it lip service. But it's not in our heart. With respect, we claim to love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's not deep. It's not reached the depths of the heart. Because if it had, my actions, as he says, would have been to act upon the sunnahs and the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to claim to love, is it, you know, am I right? I
mean, it is right. Our aim should be to be a million times doing more than what that person was doing for that. For that woman that he loved. Oh, that's gone. And if you look at the companions, the way they were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did something, the companions would strive towards doing that same thing. There's the narration of a companion that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eat bottle gourd, or what we call kaddu sharif, loki, I think. And then that the companion saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looking for that vegetable. And after that, he said, since that day, that vegetable has become my favorite vegetable. Do we do that? do we do that? We don't have that, unfortunately.
But is that because our claims for the love of Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are lip service? So, you know, like we always say, Ghulami-e Rasool mein maut bhi kabool hai. But yet you proclaim that in the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I would happily accept death, yeah? But yet you can't be bothered getting up for Fajr Salah. So is it it must be a defect in the heart then.
The coolness of the eyes of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Salah. So if he truly loved Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why are you missing something that he loved?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just to test this out, because we had this discussion before a couple of months back. And, you know, in the madrasa, we have our weekly assembly. So I asked this question openly to the kid that said, who here loves Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? You know, every kid put his hand up. You know, a couple of kids put two hands up. You know, they love the Prophet that much. And the second question, the follow-up was that, is who is ready to stand up from where you are and come here and prove it? And you were dead silent. No one had an answer. So this, it shows us, you know, how many of us, we say we love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how many of us can truly tell ourselves that we can come, and not to, you know, other people, you know, even to yourself, even to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who you are claiming to love, how are you going to prove it to him? You know, and this, you know, when people think about this, when you try to think and reflect on that, then that's when you start to see, you know, the defects in your life, and you can start to make a change as well.
SubhanAllah. Viewers of Madni Channel, this segment we've come to the end of. Today, what I wanted to do was kind of emphasize the importance of the heart, the spiritual heart. And mashallah, our guests have very beautifully and eloquently kind of guided us to how important the heart is, how intentions are based on what is in the heart, lip service doesn't work, and the true love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if it's in the heart, it will come out through your actions. Inshallah, from next week, inshallah, we're going to delve into the diseases of the heart and look at how they impact upon your actions. Because all the actions we do physically in the world, as Shaheed Bhai said, can be traced back to diseases in the heart. So we will look at those diseases, try and purify and get rid of those. You look at what, you know, great scholars like Allah Hazrat alayhi rahmat and Imam Ghazali rahmatullah and these greats have all emphasized. They've emphasized that if you want to be on this journey to Medina, then the fundamental starting point is purification of the heart. This is why our series is called The Heart's Journey to Medina. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
This path is not distance, nor steps we take. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake.